Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Tristan Nunez, driver of the 7-0 SkyActiv Mazda prototype, and you're listening to Thursday Night Thunder on the Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the July 2nd edition of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and on tonight's program, Michael Mullally and myself are celebrating the one-year anniversary of one of the best motorsports talk shows on the internet.
Sorry. I'm so unprepared. Oh my goodness. Really? My internet is being stupid, so it's like making me mad. Hi. Since July 3rd, 2014, when this program first hit the airwaves, we have talked to 89 motorsports personalities representing the ARCA Racing Series, the AMA Racing, IndyCar, the Mazda Road to Indy, the Tudor Championship, the Continental Tire Sports Car Challenge, the Porsche Cup, Lawnmower Racing, the World Karting Association, NASCAR, and several local racing series. We have talked to a few people who have written stories about the sport, people who have transported racing drivers in their limo, and even one fellow who wondered what would Jesus drive.
It started as the simple dream of a race fan from South Florida who wanted to share his interest in the sport with the world and learn more about its ins and outs along the way. Over time, it has evolved into a program that not only showcases the up-and-coming racers in the world of motorsports, but also some of the stars of today. A few months into the broadcast, I realized that this was more than a one-man job, so I brought on Michael Mullally, a grassroots racer from Ephrata, Washington, to not only help out when I needed, but also give a bit of a racer's perspective to the program. With her in-depth knowledge of what a race car driver needs to know, she has provided invaluable insight into the world of auto racing that everyone can appreciate.
As we begin our second year of the program, we hope to bring you, the listening public, even more information about the sport we all love and know. In that vein, we are currently in the process of scheduling guests such as ARCA regular Grant Enfinger next week and Southern late model newcomer Garrett Jones on July 30th. We also have high hopes that our increased presence at the track will lead to even more awesome opportunities in the future.
With that, I'd like to once again mention that I will be attending this weekend's races at the Daytona International Speedway. The racing begins on Saturday, July 4th, as the stars of the NASCAR Xfinity Series take to the track for the Firecracker 250. This historic event will give the public yet another chance to observe the progress made in the Daytona Rising Project, the multi-million-dollar renovation of the Super Speedway into a modern-day Coliseum of Speed. It will also mark the debut of the series on the NBC Sports Network, which would have been much bigger news if the recent controversy involving the display of the Confederate flag hadn't taken center stage at the track.
In a statement issued earlier today, NASCAR basically banned the display of the Confederate battle flag from their races. The statement reads, "As members of the NASCAR industry, we join NASCAR in the desire to make our events among the most fan-friendly, welcoming environments in all of sports and entertainment. To do that, we are asking our fans and partners to join us in a renewed effort to create an all-inclusive, more welcoming atmosphere for all who attend our events. This will include the request to refrain from displaying the Confederate flag at our facilities and NASCAR events. We are committed to providing a welcoming atmosphere free of offensive symbols. This is an opportunity for NASCAR Nation to demonstrate its sense of mutual respect and acceptance for all who attend our events while collectively sharing the tremendous experience of NASCAR racing."
In my humble opinion, the flag controversy has gone a bit overboard. I realize that images such as this bring up bad feelings for many people, but it's also a part of history and the sport that simply cannot be forgotten. As some of you read earlier today on the NBC Sports, which I retweeted on the Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder Facebook page, as well as my own Facebook feed, there's already one flag that was flying above the Speedway that's been there. A person who goes to at least five races a year has had it up as part of his flag display there for like 20 years. And he doesn't have any plan on taking it down. Personally, I think that at Daytona, it'll be interesting, to say the least, to see what other Confederate memorabilia is on sale at the track. I have a feeling that there'll probably be more than they expect. And this is a little bit overkill, in my opinion, of NASCAR to try and ban it entirely from the sport. What do you think?
Well, always been told you can't control what people do and say. So banning a flag, I mean, like, in my opinion, like, altogether, it's kind of, I mean, like you said, it's a bit overboard. Like, you know, you're taking away, or at least trying to take away, in some aspects, people's beliefs. And, you know, I mean, obviously this flag is a big part of the world, basically. I mean, it's all over Facebook, and I don't know. I think that it shouldn't, how should I put this? I don't think that because one person had a problem with it, you know, and that's where it all starts. It starts with one person, and then it spreads like wildfire. But anyway, I don't think that that should be a reason to ban the flag altogether. And I think that NASCAR banning the flag is, once again, like you said, a bit overboard. I mean, like I said, you can't control what people do and say, and, you know, it's just going to make people, what is the word I'm looking for? It's just going to make people, you know, basically fly it more and use it more.
That's what I'm thinking, too. I think it's kind of the issue is the shooting, apparently, in Charleston there, where the guy, the Dylan Root, was seen with the Confederate battle flag in some of his pictures. But I think it's kind of one of those, the straw that broke the camel's back, because everybody sees that one picture, and now they want to try and ban it from everywhere. They want to try and ban it from NASCAR. They want to ban it from public display, ban it from Confederate memorials, ban it from license plates. They even want to try and ban it from places like the Stone Mountain Park or Antietam or Gettysburg and those sort of things. And that's a little bit much. And I know that a lot of the NASCAR fans, their big experience with it would probably be the top of the General Lee there in Dukes of Hazzard, which has actually also been pulled off television now, off TV Land. It was on twice a day, and now it's gone. So it's just it's a little bit of overkill, and I don't think that it will stop anytime soon. I think it's just one of those things where it'll keep going and going and until finally somebody says enough is enough, and that might not be for a while, which isn't a very good thing.
Well, and that flag, I mean, how long has that flag been around? And now suddenly they're going to be like, oh, hey, that flag is offensive. It's been around forever. So really, if it was that offensive or whatever, then it should have been banned a long time ago.
Yep. Oh, like I was actually having a discussion earlier today where they talking about the thing, and they said that didn't he, in the 70s and 80s, and even into the 90s for that matter, it was a different country. And in 2001, when the terrorist attack thing, everybody's suddenly afraid of their own shadow in certain respects. They don't want to offend anybody. They don't want to be offended. And things tend to escalate way too quickly nowadays. It's not a good thing. It's definitely not an American attitude with the 4th of July coming up in 2 days. It might be the modern American attitude, but it's not a very good way of looking at other things. There's a thing called freedom of speech and freedom of expression. And apparently NASCAR and other organizations are sort of shoving that in the drawer in favor of the overwhelming good of society as they see it. And I think it's sort of the good of society is one thing, but it's up to individuals to determine how they want to live in society. And when individuals are able to work together and not worry about some stupid flag that somebody might be flying or whatever, and just worry about their own lives, it's a better country all around.
Yeah. Well, and you can't please everybody. So, like, I don't understand why everybody's so worried about pleasing, you know, the people that don't like the flag. You know, like, you can't please everybody, so why even try?
Yeah, it just doesn't seem to really make sense. It's sort of it's been overblown, as I said, and like I said, I don't think that this is the end of it either. I think this is just the very beginning, and it'll probably get worse before it gets better.
Yeah, well, because, I mean, and like you said, it's getting taken overboard, and you think this is overboard now, but you know that there are people that's going to take it over the top.
Yeah, in the article, it was on NBCSports.com, which I don't know if you've had a chance to read over. It was kind of interesting, but there was a woman there who was talking about her her rebel flag bikini that she brought with her. And she said, are they going to make me take that off when I'm there, if I choose to wear that this weekend too? So I'm sure there'll be a bunch of those around the track this weekend, especially considering it's supposed to be in the upper 90s there. And there'll be a bunch of other things. It'll be different. And they also have a Confederate flag exchange program they've started there at the Daytona International Speedway. And as of 5 o'clock this evening, and the track did open, I believe, yesterday. As of 5 o'clock this evening, there is no one has taken advantage of that. So that's interesting as well.
Yeah. Well, like you just said, I too am also very curious to see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure there'll be a lot of photo opportunities to take pictures of all the Confederate flags, or more than you'd ever seen at a NASCAR race before. Because there's been some calls for that on the internet, especially in Daytona and even in Talladega. So it'll be something to see, that's for sure. And I'm kind of curious as to how the situation will be handled ultimately in Daytona.
Well, better get that selfie stick ready.
Exactly. And on Sunday night, 43 drivers and teams will once again take to the high banks of Daytona for the Coke Zero 400. Sunday's Coke Zero 400, powered by Coca-Cola Sprint Cup Series event, scheduled for 7:45 p.m. Eastern Time on NBC, will wave a green flag for NBC Sports Group's 10-year chapter in the home of NASCAR's championship run. An NBC Sports production team in Daytona will employ a crew of more than 195 personnel, 70 cameras, 80 microphones, 150,000 feet of cable, and a wide selection of other tools to deliver the action. It should be an awesome weekend of racing, and I'm looking forward to sharing some of it with you. You can also read some of the pre-race stories about Daytona on SpeedwayDigest.com, including a feature I wrote yesterday about the Busch brothers' return to Daytona, and about some of the favorites in the Firecracker 250. And today I wrote an article about some of the Florida drivers who can be featured in the Firecracker 250, the Xfinity event taking place on July 4th. So who's your pick to win Daytona this weekend? I know you're probably favoring Joey Logano to be a repeat winner again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, of course I would like him to win. So he's kind of just an automatic pick. But, you know, I don't know. I wasn't expecting Kyle Busch to win so soon. So, I don't know. I think Dale Earnhardt Jr. is going to win.
Okay. Dale Jr., who won the Daytona 500 last year. That's a pretty good pick. I think that a purely selfish thing, I'll go with Eric Almirola, because I'm supposed to talk to Eric Almirola on Sunday afternoon. And it would be interesting to see somebody who I talk to win the race. You never know.
Be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. But I think that more realistically, it probably will be, it'll either be Dale Jr. or possibly even Jeff Gordon, who's done fairly well at the Daytona 500 before and at the summer race as well. And I think that it would be a huge boon for the sport to have Jeff Gordon win at his last start at the Daytona International Speedway. That'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah, that would. I don't know. I like Jeff Gordon and everything, but this just isn't his season.
No, it's not. It doesn't seem to be. I think I'm not sure exactly what the issue is either, because it's that he has about the same crew he had last year. He has his crew chief is different, but that could be the main difference. You never know. But it's one of those things where year to year, some of the drivers and some of the teams in NASCAR, even if they only make one little change, it seems to throw off the whole chemistry of the team. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's understandable, too.
Either that or the contact lenses that they're wearing from Alcon aren't working quite as well for the number 24 team as they are for some of the other teams.
They did it on purpose.
That's what it is. Sabotage. They need to buy new contacts.
Let's tell him right now. Just joking.
Exactly. I'll send him an email in a moment. We all set. But I think it should be a. I think it'll be a good race. I don't know how many people will be there because they're not. They won't have very many seats available. I think that the only seats are going to be in turn four, and I think they have a few seats in turn one. I haven't seen the pictures yet, but I know that they were supposed to have some seats available in turn one. I'm not sure if they're the really high seats or they're the low ground level seats they've had there for a while. But the whole center of the grandstand is being torn up now and will be replaced by the. Should be done by the Daytona 500 next year. They also have the whole super stretch grandstands that are pretty much gone, and I'll be posting a bunch of pictures of that probably on Monday. I might try this weekend, but I'm not sure how much computer time I'm going to have. So track's definitely in transition, and hopefully it'll all come together next year. I know they've got a news conference scheduled for tomorrow afternoon with Lisa France Candy, going to have the state of the Daytona Rising thing and see how well that's going. I know they've got a new sponsor. They've got Chevrolet that's going to be one of the major sponsors, as well as Toyota that was announced earlier, Rolex that was announced prior to that, and the Fifth Third Bank, which was just announced this week as well, as the official bank of NASCAR, the official bank of the Daytona International Speedway. A lot of sponsorship announcements this summer. So it's coming together. It'll be pretty close done, and it was definitely interesting to see it this in January for the 24-hour race. I'm not sure if I'm going to have any way to access the grandstand seating. My assumption is no, but I will definitely be able to get some pictures of it, and it's pretty impressive looking. I can tell you that. Hopefully, you've built up your Daytona fund now, and you're all ready to come down next year.
Getting there. We've had to spend it a little bit to get car parts, but it'll be ready.
So when's your next race scheduled for now? You said you weren't really sure, but it was going to be sometime in late July.
Well, the next race is actually July 11th, but I'm doing something a little more important than racing any freighter raceway. I'm just joking. That was not very nice, but... it'll be sometime after that, probably. Who knows? We may even just save the car for season championships. No, I'm just joking. That's a little extreme.
There you go. So how are the fires around you? I know there was that big fire in Waunakee or whatever. It's been all over the news.
Yeah, there was a huge fire in Waunakee, and it ended up burning, like, last I read, it was like 28 homes or something, and a lot of stuff in Waunakee. And then 2 days after that, there was another huge fire that I could actually see out my living room window, so that was weird, but they ended up getting that out pretty quick. But that burned, it was like 600 acres or something, but they were evacuating a lot of homes and stuff. So, yeah, the fires are pretty bad around here, but there's good fire departments sometimes.
That's what you get for wishing for the warm weather. Everything dries out, and there you go. If you wish for rain and...
bad part about summer.
Mm-hmm. If you wish for rain and cold temperatures, it'd be all okay.
No. Maybe nice, warm rain. Swim in the rain. That'd be kind of cool. Ha. Huh. No pun intended.
Yes, exactly. I know next weekend you're going to... This weekend I'm in Daytona. Next weekend you're going to be going to a race out in Spokane, which should be a pretty good event there.
Yes, next weekend the International Hot Rod Association Nitro GM Tour will make their presence known for the first time in the western half of the United States, and the Nitro GM Nationals presented by Good Vibrations. The event is scheduled for July 10th and 11th at Spokane County Raceway, located in Airway Heights, Washington. Spokane County Raceway will feature professional competition in a number of fan favorite classes, including the Amsoil Natural Fun... Na- not natural, oh my gosh... Nitro Funny Car, presented by Aeromotive, Nitro Harley, Jet Dragster, and special to the event, the Blown Alcohol Thunder and Pro Alcohol Funny Car. All of that will take place in addition to a full weekend of sportsman competition. All tickets include a free pit pass and free entry into Sunday's sportsman race and can be ordered in advance at www.nitrojam.com.
So what are you most looking forward to about going to the IHRA event next weekend?
It'll be like it changes scenery. Well, I usually just sit around here on the weekend or, you know, when we actually race. But I'm looking forward to going out and actually doing something. But I think mostly I'm hoping I'll get to at least meet some of the drivers we've had on here. So that'll be interesting.
It should be. I'm kind of jealous that they're going to have the Blown Alcohol and the Pro Alcohol Funny Cars out there. I didn't get to see those here this year. They've had them here in the past. Those are pretty impressive. Really earth-shatteringly loud, though, when they're warming up. So be sure to bring your earplugs with you. Loud pops.
Oh, pop. There's going to be pop. That sounds interesting.
Yeah. But you won't get to see Miss Nitro Jam because she's not going to be in the July event. So.
What?
Yeah, it's horrible. She heard you were coming. She decided not to go. That's how it goes.
Wow. I'm going to have to tweet her.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
But a lot of the other people we've had on the program are going to be there in Funny Car people are all going to be there. The Jet Dragster people are all going to be there. And it should be a really good show. Should be awesome.
Yeah. Shame you won't be making a surprise visit. Wouldn't that be something?
A little too far out of my way. Just a little bit, you know.
You don't have like a private jet or anything?
Not yet. Not yet. It's in the shop. But be sure to say hello to Shania Keller. She's always been a really good friend to the program and friend to the work I've been doing for SpeedwayDigest.com and for the Examiner.com before that. She is a very powerful voice in the world of motorsport. She's been good in public relations, both working for the IHRA now, and she worked for Juan Pablo Montoya when he was for Chip Ganassi Racing in the past. So she's definitely an interesting person, and she'd be someone you might want to introduce yourself to and say hello. It'd be cool.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you say she's pretty cool, and she must be pretty cool.
And you never know, maybe you'll be able to, you and your father can find a dragster sitting out there that has your name on it.
Wouldn't that be something? Wishful thinking at its finest.
There you go. Another racing that takes place this weekend is the Red Bull Global Rallycross. We'll be having a race this weekend. It is a free event, as Nur Ali mentioned last week. It'll be taking place in the near Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. You can look up details at Red Bull Global Rallycross. That's redbullgrc.com. They'll have full information about the event there. The tickets are free, but there is only a limited amount that will be sold because it is on a military base. But it should be a pretty good race there. They were at Daytona a couple weeks ago, and going from Daytona, the big track there, even though they only used a mile of it, to a relatively small track set up in a military base will be a pretty big adjustment for those guys. And I'm sure they're looking forward to it. I did a few articles about that this afternoon. And so check those out at SpeedwayDigest.com in the racing news section. There's also a couple other races that are taking place this weekend. There's some local events taking place around the country. So be sure to support your local track. And hopefully it's a nice and safe 4th of July at all the all the racing facilities, both the professional ones and the local facilities. So what's your big 4th of July weekend plans?
Well, my mom has a sailboat, and I'm going to convince someone to take that out with me because I really want to take it out. She hasn't taken it out, so that sounds fun. And then everyone's just, like, all my family and stuff are just going to come hang out at our house, and then we might go catch a couple fireworks shows around here, but that's pretty much it. We're pretty basic around here.
Yeah, I'm hoping to actually enjoy the fireworks there in Daytona this year. Last year when I was there, they had rained out the race on Saturday, but they still had the fireworks on Saturday night, which was kind of hokey because it was raining and it was nasty. And then so I weren't really able to enjoy them last year. But it's supposed to be the largest fireworks show in the South, and it should be pretty cool. Hopefully the fireworks on the track are just as exciting as fireworks up in the sky. And it's an exciting race, and it goes by quickly, and there's no accidents and all that. Lots of passing. Sometimes Daytona turns into a follow-the-leader type thing, and that can get really, really old. And hopefully the weather's good. The weather today there is not. The weather tomorrow is supposed to be very similar to today. But I'm hoping that there's a little break in the pattern sometime this weekend, and that the thunderstorms get done early enough so that it doesn't affect any of the racing action in the afternoons. Because they have the practice going on, they have practice tomorrow. But then they have the big practice going and qualifying going on Saturday, and then they have the race Saturday night and the racing on Sunday. As I've said before, I think best day of that would be to go on Saturday to see both the qualifying as well as the Xfinity race. And that is, of course, the 4th of July, and they're going to have the big fireworks display after that race. And then you can always go on Sunday if you want as well and get 2 days of fireworks for one. They do still have tickets available. I don't know how many, but I know that they have a few grandstand tickets still available. They have some infield tickets still available. I don't believe they have many infield parking tickets left, but there are some infield walk tickets that are always available for the race, so if you're in the Daytona area, go ahead and head out to the track, and I'll be on the lookout for you. Just look for the guy in the Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder shirt. I'll be wearing that at least one of the days. And say hello if you're a listener to the program.
Well, you'll have to try and figure out how to videotape the fireworks or something, and then you could put it on the website. And that'd be cool.
I will. I've done the pictures before, but the fireworks pictures can be iffy. So I can try to do a short video of some of the highlights and see how that goes. I know they've done the fancy fireworks there where they have the little American flags and sometimes they have words and stuff there. So should be kind of neat.
Yeah, sounds a lot better than what you get around here.
I know they invested a lot of time and money in their fireworks shows, especially for the 4th of July race, and being that the fact that that one of the races actually is on the 4th of July and called the Firecracker race, I'm hoping that that will be a really good show there. Kind of be cool if Ryan Reed ended up winning that race, just like he did the race in the spring there in Daytona. But I think that was really, really a lucky break for Ryan Reed because they had all those accidents during the nationwide event, the now Xfinity event, and that huge crash where they had the guy come down pit road and everything, and basically turned the front stretch into a beach with all the speedy dry they laid down. Hopefully there's not any of that because that can get a little bit much, and I don't think that any of the Sprint Cup drivers who are going to be competing in the race would like to have the same sort of thing happen to them as happened to Kyle Busch in the Xfinity race in in February, that's not really a good thing.
Not at all.
But you never know. I think that Kyle Busch he'll be motivated to do well in Daytona, both in the Xfinity race as well as the race on Sunday. But you never know. I think he'll be motivated, and in a way he'll be looking right at that spot where he ran into the wall so hard in February and sort of being careful there. So, but I think a lot of the drivers will, because they all know that's I don't know how many changes they've made to the track. I know they've made a few since February, but I think that when they look at that spot, they'll still think about it, and that's not the, at least for the first few laps.
Yeah, maybe. Isn't there a way that NASCAR could fix that spot? You know?
I think they have added I don't think they've added the safer barrier, but I think they're probably going to have that the tire barrier thing, the one with the eight tires all bolted together and attached to the wall there.
Yeah, that still seems like it would kind of hurt, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think anytime you hit the wall, even if you hit the so-called soft walls, it's not exactly the healthiest thing for you.
No, not at all.
As we begin our second full year of broadcast next week, I'd like to thank all of our past guests for taking time out of their busy schedules to share a little bit of their love of auto racing with all of us. Be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as the other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at SpeedwayDigestRadioNetwork.com. You can relive all the fun of the past year on the site and keep up to date with the latest NASCAR news, open wheel speculation, and more. On the open wheel side, there's been a little bit of a controversy about the IndyCar race there that took place last week in Fontana. They've issued numerous fines to some of the drivers, $25,000 fine to Will Power for making comments that were against the spirit of IndyCar, which is kind of one of those things that NASCAR does on occasion where they issue large fines when you're not happy with something that NASCAR has done, and you comment on that. But that's it's a pretty big step for IndyCar to make, to issue those sort of large fines and place Will Power on probation until the end of this season. There are some issues in IndyCar. There have been for some time, and it seems like at times IndyCar is unsure of what their position in the racing world should be. And it'll be pretty good to watch and see how it unfolds. I know that IndyCar has the money and the support to continue through this season, because the season is an abbreviated season. It ends sometime, I believe, in early August, which is a really early time to end a racing season, but their season lasts a little bit less than 6 months. Next year they're hoping to extend the season out a little bit. But you never know. There could be some issues after the Indianapolis 500, where they actually end up losing one of their engine manufacturers. There's been some talk about other issues in IndyCar. The current management, Mr. Miles there, who we mentioned briefly on this program about some of the adjustments he made prior to the Indy 500 to cause the speeds to be 7 miles an hour slower than they were during practice. So it's kind of an interesting deal there in IndyCar, and we'll have to ask some of our future guests, who I'm hoping to have on at least one member of the Brian Herta Autosport team from their IndyCar camp to come on the show in the future. We'll have to ask them how they feel about the current management of IndyCar. I know that recently Michael Andretti has stated that the Formula E series is a better series than IndyCar or Formula One, and will end up taking over the entire world of racing in the next several years. There are other people in the Formula E series that we've talked to on this program such as Yarno Trulli, who don't quite share that opinion of the Formula E series. But then you look at people like Richard Branson, Lord Richard Branson, the guy from Virgin Racing, who has an idea that in the next 10 years, Formula E racing will become the major form of motorsports in the world. Now, that is a pretty hard sell as well. Formula E has a lot of work to do to become the preeminent racing thing. It was pretty cool to see them when they raced in Miami, and it'll be interesting if I have the opportunity again next year to go down there and see how many changes they made. But I don't think that Formula E has the the ability to become the number one motorsports thing in the world. Now, that could change. If IndyCar suddenly did have the problems that they've referred to and they went all the way down to nothing, then Formula E will probably explode. But you never know. You've been following IndyCar enough to comment on that.
Honestly, not really. But in all fairness, I haven't really been following NASCAR a whole lot either because, I don't know, I've just been doing a lot of swimming and stuff.
I'm going to tell Joey Logano you haven't been following him, and he's going to be pouting all weekend.
Something tells me he'll get over it with his some-odd million fans.
He might, but it'll take him at least 2 or 3 seconds to get over it, I can tell. At least. It would be. It'd be horrible. For those of you who are interested, I have there's currently a contest on the Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder Facebook page, where I'm giving away a autographed picture of Leanne Powell, Miss Nitro Jam. She was kind enough to send me a couple of autographed pictures. I'm going to give one away this week, probably one away next month, and maybe two in the end of the IHRA season. So if you're interested, please go to the Facebook page for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. Check out the picture there. It is kind of a cool-looking picture. It's got several of the cars in the IHRA there. It's got a picture of the Pro Stock car, one of the Jet Dragsters, the Hawaiian Funny Car, the Nitro Harley, a couple of Nitro Harleys. And it should be a good addition to your racing collection. I kind of wonder whether the Hawaiian will actually show up there in Spokane. I know that they've got some of their cars don't tour the entire country. And the Hawaiian thing had some issues prior to the race in PBIR, where they had actually fired the guy who had the original license for the Hawaiian Funny Car prior to that race, and I don't know if that's still an issue or if they've gotten a new driver for the Hawaiian car or what, but it'll be definitely something to see, because the Prostalgia Funny Cars there are a little bit different looking and not quite as fast, but they use a little bit richer mix of fuels, and they make up for it in the fact that they really look like they zoom down the track there.
Well, I will have to try and snap a couple pictures for the website.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you can end up winning a trip to Aruba, too. They've got the Team Aruba car there as well.
That would be pretty sweet.
As I said, I invite you to read all the articles covering aspects of motorsports at SpeedwayDigest.com. There's been a lot of developments going up to the race this weekend in Daytona. There's also some racing in Canada. There's racing in the Red Bull Series. There's racing all over the country this weekend. And it's and I'd like to wish everybody a happy 4th of July, happy Independence Day. And I look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you again next week in the Thunderdome when we will welcome Grant, oh my gosh, Ingfinger, oh I know I said that wrong, into the Thunderdome.
Thanks again, and have a happy 4th of July.